Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves and our continued general election coverage just keeps coming and I'm sick of the sight of you, Martin.
I know, we saw that debate last night, seven-way, Tony.
Yeah.
What's your impressions?
Yeah, there was a real few interesting things that I saw, and it wasn't so much in the debate because the debate is just politics as pantomime or whatever you want to call it. But I saw one of the reactions was funny. Was two journalists who I read and respect and think they write good stuff made a comment about the amount of time that Mary Lou was getting, saying it was disproportionate. And I thought that was quite funny because what that actually meant was, have we officially now in Ireland got an opposition? Because we had, you know, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael playing at, you know, coalition, confidence and supply, but they actually declared the enemy now is on the other side of the floor, and it was Sinn Féin. And I thought, that's unusual, because in everywhere else, you know, in the UK, we was used to having Labour shouting at the Tories and all the rest. We don't have that. We have two lads who agree on pretty much everything, picking, you know, reasons to fall out with each other and making us believe that that's oppositional politics. So I thought that was interesting from a perception, taking a step backwards and looking at it. Not oversold. You know, people are talking about Roisin Shortall didn't have a great debate, neither did Brendan Howell, and they all had their, you know, everybody had this moment or they had that moment. And I do think what you're seeing, though, is the public are cluing in.
Yeah, they're big time, yeah. Big time. Now, I find it difficult because these days when I see Varadkar on screen, all I hear is dun, 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 dun. But some issues came up, and there's one I'd really like to point out, and it was the average wage for the full-time working person, Tony, and Leo quoted that as 47.7, I think it was. And he's actually right. That is the average wage for the full-time working person. Hmm. But on Twitter, those in the know have pointed out that 85% of the population earn less than 50,000. And I think that has come as a shock to an awful lot of people. An awful lot. A lot of people are looking at, you know, the lifestyles of the rich and glamorous in Ireland, thinking, why am't I there? I'm working hard. I'm doing my bit. Why can't I afford private health insurance? Why can't I afford to save a deposit? What's wrong with me?
Nothing's wrong with these
There's
people.
Nothing wrong with you.
No, this is
you are the people.
This is the first generation. We've said this before. It's the first generation. The American dream, as they used to refer to it, was that, you know, you'd get on and you'd go up another social mobility. You could go up another thing from, and you did better. So it was the first generation of 25 to 35 year olds who were worse off than their parents were, and it hadn't happened, and it's happening now in the West for the first time, and people are looking around saying, this isn't the promise, this isn't what we were told.
If it's 85k or if it's 85% below, and it is 85% below 50k, Tony, that's not just young people.
No, that's what I mean. It's clearly across the board, and they love to quote the average, but they don't quote the median.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's easy to say it's 47,000, you know, when you're this guy is getting paid 3 and 4 million into that.
Other thing that's actually interesting on that, and never ever gets properly covered by some of the other people who do these things, when they talk about tax cuts, what no one mentions is they say we're going to do tax cuts for the squeeze middle.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about this. What that actually means, there's not one proposal, and I've read them and I've costed them. They generally reflect people who are on over 100,000 benefit four to ten times
That's
more
right.
than the people who are actually in that category of a genuine squeeze middle. It's not in the US, they call that what it is. They literally call it tax breaks for the rich. Trump's tax deal was referred to as tax breaks for the rich, and it was giving money back to wealthy people. They're calling it a stimulus, and, you know, depending on what side of the aisle you sat, you were saying these were the already rich people saying we're getting more money, happy days. But in Ireland, we have this thing that we don't like to mention class, because if you mention class, then you have to admit your own kind of prejudices and biases.
Well, I think that's what was very much on show last night. More than anything, that what was on show was class. I think that's what was in show on that debate. You had people who were talking from class point of views. You have Fine Gael, who most definitely are in the ABC One camp. They like the wealthy people. It's very difficult to see, as somebody in the 85% less than 50K, what do Fine Gael have to offer you?
Well, you see, that's why I mean that they get a thing and they say to you, they're going to give you a tax cut. But it's not a tax cut for you. It's for the tax cut for the guy who's already ahead of you. And that is not really what this is about. It should be about giving people. There's nothing wrong with wanting to get on, by the way.
Yeah, no, you know, absolutely.
Like, I find that outrageous where they say, oh, people on the left want this. It means everybody will have less. We want people to be able to get on. Social mobility, absolutely.
You're not trying to stop people from being richer. Mm. You just don't want so many poor people to be poor. Yeah. That's the difference. That's all.
But I suppose, look, the debates, they serve their purpose. People are engaging. And it's happy days, but you know, it's not going to change anything. I think what you're going to see is people just actually entrenching. I think Fine Gael, honestly, saying it now, they're toast.
Oh yeah, wiped out. Third. They're the third. The question is, who are they third to?
The funny thing is, so as someone said to me earlier, privately, that Leo Varadkar won't even be the leader of the opposition at this rate. Which brings us on to, have to cover the, insensitive and idiotic comments of Senator Catherine Noone. And I will say that I have had engagements with the senator previously, and I've talked to her about some of the things that I thought she did when we talked about class, Martin, that I thought she stigmatised people in a public housing development. So I wasn't surprised. I'm not even going to say I'm disappointed, because I just think these things are being said all the time. It just happens now on the campaign trail.
Worse is being said.
But now there's a microphone beside them, or there's people who are taking the quotes. And that's, I don't want to go into it. It's wrong to say that about anybody. It's wrong to say that about the leader of our party. It's wrong to say about Leo Varadkar as a person. I can say a lot of things about Leo Varadkar, but to equate it to autism was just.
But it also
autism is not a bad word.
I know, but it also shows that they have a difficulty explaining why Fine Gael are so fucking heartless. they really do have a difficulty in explaining it. It's very difficult to say. Like, and I'll just go back to the debate for a minute. And Leo was quoting, you know, I can't remember what number he used, but I think he'd say 50,000 people, you know, got a home. But there are 4,000 homeless children. The 50,000 people who could buy a home were the 50,000 people who could afford to buy a home.
The housing issue, they're not going to resolve it. Absolutely not. Not.
And look, I'm going to say this again. Neither can Fianna Fáil with an SSIA, Tony. Come on, that's madness.
I'm not saying. But again, you have to be honest and say that at least that plan hasn't failed yet. The current plan that we have. Let's be very clear. Pillar one: rebuilding Ireland to build an average of 25,000 homes every year of the plan. They haven't achieved it once, and unless 65,000 homes drop out of the sky, it's a failure. And it is a failure.
Yeah.
And every time I say that, people come back to me and they say, nonsense. You can't now say that, give them 9 more months or give them 9 more years. And that's what they keep saying. Look forward. Don't look.
They tried that 2-year trick last night. We're only around 2 years. You know, you've been there for 9 years, guy. 9 years. And there's no way of cutting this up. There's no way of cutting yourselves out of the picture. And even before that, when it was Fianna Fáil in power, you were the opposition urging them to spend more goddamn money. Mm. So, you know, your culpability goes back further than 9 years.
Yeah, look, in terms of today, Sinn Féin launched their manifesto.
Mm-hmm.
Will be interesting to see stuff around renters, because, again, I don't think there's been enough said about rent. Will be interesting to see around health. I think Louise O'Reilly is an impressive candidate there. I would be interested to see what Labour and the Greens are doing at the moment. They are potentially the people who can actually help push. What is the opportunity of... Like, we've never had this opportunity,
No, no, there is. We've never had this opportunity where there is actually a chance that there is a left bloc who can wield power.
Mm.
And not just run and throw themselves at the feet of the bigger parties.
I want to come in and say on that, though. You're saying the wield power. I want to be very clear on this. In a left-wing government that I believe is possible in terms of progressive unity. It's inclusive. Just because you happen to vote Fine Gael doesn't mean that you're now cancelled, okay? You still, everybody is still, there will be a Taoiseach for the country. Whereas what we have at the moment now, and he's quite clear, is he said, I won't talk to Sinn Féin, I won't talk, you know, he's got these red lines, which means in a way he won't talk to that electorate or won't represent them.
Yeah.
And I want to be clear that if anybody I see who's coming to power, for me, shouldn't be afraid of actually saying, yes, everybody contributes, everybody has it, and we raise up society. That's, I think that message gets lost, and I don't think, I have to say, knock on Mary Lou, I don't think she has sold that message.
I think if you look at farmers, 69% of farmers vote for Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, but only 20% of farmers have ever benefited from voting for Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. So there is an illusion out there that they are the party for you, but they're not. If you want rural services, if you want a bus service, a reasonable bus service in and out of your town, if you want to be paid for a just transition, which is really, really important, you're never going to get that from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, ever. They've never done it in the past. They've never been just about anything they did.
We're kicking them a lot, okay? So
yeah, they deserve it, Tony.
Yes, absolutely. But I want to be fair on this. I'm still, as I said, I'm not getting enough from the opposition. I want to see your alternatives. I don't want to hear any more negativity. We've got a week and a half here to go. Let's start talking about what it will look like. You know, give people the vision. Stop talking about what they've done. Start talking about what you're going to do. That'll be my call. Martin is giving me a filthy look here now, but I want to hear people say, this is what it's going to look like when we actually all can get on.
Okay. I think the God honest truth is we won't know what it looks like until it's here, Tony.
Yeah.
And I think what's the alternative argument is the old trope that has been thrown out forever and ever. The alternative is you're not going to have a house. You're not going to have public transport. There's going to be catastrophic climate change. Your wages are going to stagnate. Prices are going to go up and up and up. You are just a commodity. That's the alternative.
So, yeah, okay. Martin is nice on the old economic unit argument, which is funny, but I want to be optimistic today. Give me something to want to go out and vote for. Give me something to get all those people, the 28% of people who say, I don't think I'm going to vote, get them off their arses and actually give them a reason to vote. Get them something to go for. We're going to have an interview now with Breed Smith.
Yeah, Breed Smith's coming in. Lovely. Going to have a great interview with Breed.
Reminder. These podcasts need support. It's been great, like great reaction to what we're doing. We have a lot of other candidates lined up, but you know, can't keep doing it. It has to happen.
We are wall falling too, to be honest with you. We are wall falling. We are 24/7 politics. One of us is on the shift. We miss nothing.
I'm knackered. Just head over to patreon.com/tortoiseshack. Price of a cup of coffee. It really helps. We need the support to keep these going. Talk to you all soon. Thanks. Bye bye. Delighted to be joined in the Tortoise Shack by People Before Profit, Dublin South TD, South Central TD, Breed Smith. Breed, thanks so much for coming in.
No problem.
Listen, we know you're in the midst of a big campaign. It must be chaos out there at the moment. How are you finding it?
Well, I've got a huge amount of support. I'm kind of overwhelmed by the amount of people that are coming out to canvass and help us poster, and even just people who aren't physically able to do much, sitting at home, stuffing envelopes,
yeah,
folding leaflets and things like that. A huge amount of support. So I'm delighted really with the response.
And like when you see the polls, how they've sort of moved from where, you know, PVP and the vote at that stage, you know, we were told six months ago that it was in decline and it was all only one way. It definitely doesn't feel like that now.
No, it does not. You mean that for the left?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. And I think last night's debate was kind of interesting in that you could see that the strongest and most logical and reasonable arguments were made by Mary Lou MacDonald and Richard Boy Barrett to the greatest degree. And then obviously the clapometer showed it, and the reports in the papers this morning where polls were taken, I think by the journal.ie and others that report that these two lefties were topping the poll of who did well.
Yeah,
and your website crashed afterwards last night.
So I heard, yeah.
I heard that last night. Yeah. So it shows that there was interest generated from the debate.
Sure, there was, yeah. And I'm no doubt it didn't do us any harm in terms of, winning a few votes as well.
Why did you first get into politics, Breed?
Oh, for God's sake. Like, I'm 62 now, and I think probably my first political... My first political activity was probably going to the Bloody Sunday demonstration back in 1972 with my dad. And my parents were Republicans, but my awareness of what was going on in the North was really raised as a child, because I used to watch, in the 66, 67, I used to watch the marches on the telly of the civil rights movement. And I kind of was baffled by the fact that somebody demanding a house and a vote and a job could be beaten off the streets to the degree they were. And when Bloody Sunday happened, I begged me dad, myself and my sister begged me dad, could we go into the march with him? So that was probably my first engagement with politics. And then it went on from there. I became very active in H Block later on. I was on the National H Block Committee. But also in between all that, I started to work as a young adult and got involved in the trade union movement as well, and became the first female shop steward in Dublin Bus, and did a lot of issues around, obviously, the Eighth Amendment was being inserted into the Constitution. That campaign was huge. And I did a lot of work around that. What else? Yeah, it went on from that, yeah.
So you have a long history of campaigning. You're running again. If you're successful now, what are your ambitions for the next Dáil, as they say?
Well, I would hope that the next Dáil is going to be full of lefties of one sort or another, and much more unity between us, practical unity as well as... I know, you know, in reality, we back each other's motions and legislation and proposals and vote on in all the same directions, but I would like to see it more proactive and to get stuck in together to build campaigns together. I think it's very good that the left are doing well, because it's also a worrying time that the right might also be rising. And you definitely need a strong left in order to push back the confidence of the far right. And I'm really pleased about that.
I remember in the last Dáil, you were successful working with the Greens in terms of your keeping in the ground bill, and you showed how you worked across party and you managed to get these things done. So there is the genesis of how we can do these things.
Absolutely, yeah.
We were lucky to speak to João Pina from the Socialist Party in Portugal, and they formed the left-wing government that has actually performed, also done well in the economically for the citizens, and it's helped. They put eradicating poverty at the centre of it, as opposed to saving the banks, shall we say.
Yeah.
Is there a central theme that you think the left can actually come together on?
Well, I don't mean to be subjective about this, but I think people before profit is the theme. because really, when you look at, I mean, Richard Boy Barrett made the point quite well last night that wanting to have a budget on public services that as against their 3 billion, we want 8 billion. All we're asking is to be brought up to the European average spend on public services, which is at 43%, whereas we're at 27. And, you know, when you think about it and look at it, every single case of the hold up and the delivery of bad public services in this country, it is because of the privatisation, whether it's healthcare, childcare, public transport, education. The private market, the drive for profit, is standing in the way of the delivery of decent public services, because it's the god, profit is the god, rather than the needs of people being put first.
And as you said, the numbers are stacking up, and we're seeing now that there is a rise of left politics, a move away from civil war politics. If the numbers stack up, is there anybody you will or will not work with?
If the numbers stack up, well, no, I think we would work with anyone on the left, you know, okay. I think, generally speaking.
And we're kind of talking now, people who self-identify as left.
Yeah, well, no, okay. There is a problem with the Labour Party and the betrayal that the Labour Party met on the working class in the last two experiences they had in government. And there's a bad, bad taste in the mouths of working class people because of, you know, things like the property tax rising, the pension age, a tax on lone parents. There's a whole plethora of stuff. The water charges, of course. So I think we would have a problem with that.
Is there an opportunity for Labour to redeem themselves in if the numbers fall, in the eyes of PPP, Solidarity, other groups? Is there a chance that Labour can redeem themselves by becoming part of that
bloc. The question
is
simple. Nobody's saying you have to say we will deal with these and we won't deal with them. Will you talk to them?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And we do. We do talk to them. I mean, I'm on various committees with the likes of Jan O'Sullivan and Sherlock and them. And of course, I talk to them. Redemption for them, though, is not something that I can see forthcoming. And I certainly didn't get the sense of it from Brendan Howland last night. Mm. And the real problem with them is that they never, ever, ever attack the system. The system, the brutal capitalist, profit-driven system, they never, you know, challenge that. They seem to say, oh, it's there and we have to deal with it, but they don't actually challenge its existence when it comes to the casualties, which is the public services in this country. So can they redeem themselves? That's entirely up to them. Mm. But they have left a very sour taste on the mouths of working class people, including myself, I have to say. I'm not making a distinction between me and the rest of the working class, but one can only imagine what it would be like in the next all. It depends on the policies and the ideas that are being put forward. And we are very hopeful that there'll be a big, big change. Mm. But whatever happens, if you take over the last 10 years or so, things have very much changed anyway, because the establishment parties, we used to call them the 2.5 parties, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Labour, used to get 70-80% of the vote. Mm. Now that's well below, well, not well below, but it's below 50% and falling. Mm. And so hopefully it'll fall even more. Mm. And that'll mean that alternatives, including some very good left-wing independents, will emerge and will gel together.
The other argument, obviously, you said about going from public spending, where our budget is one of the lowest in the EU. You will always hear that it's always thrown at the left, is that, you know, we've no idea how to spend money. We're physically mad. Put that in the context of Fine Gael with the most expensive hospital in the history of the state, the history of the world. But nonetheless, you know, are you satisfied that your policies, that they're costed and that they're workable?
I am, and I fully trust the arguments and the work that's been done by people like Richard Boy Barrett and Paul Murphy to actually make a coherent argument about how these things can be paid for. But and the simple facts of the matter is that the profits are not taxed in this country. Some of them at zero, some of them at less than 1%, some at less than 4%. Mm. So nobody can deny that. Nobody does deny that.
Well, the Collector and Auditor General said that Apple's effective tax rate was less than 2%.
That's right.
As recently as 2015. Mm-hmm. So we can, you know, the 12.5% corporation tax is nearly aspirational in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, so, you know, I suppose we've spoken to Paul a couple of times and he's more or less said, no, it's grand at 12.5%. I just like them to pay that.
It, yeah.
Yeah, that would be your take on that as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. If we could get them to pay the effective rate, we could double our fiscal space.
Yeah.
If we could get, you know, I'm sure we could get them if we implemented and closed off all the loopholes. The idea that the multinationals would run out of the country in the morning if we tried to take the tax off them, I don't buy that. I think there's lots of other reasons. And they themselves have said one of the reasons that they like to locate in Ireland, some of the reasons are a highly educated workforce, proximity to the European market and the American market. And obviously, the tax rate is attractive for them. But if it's attractive for them at 12.5%, then it's still attractive for them if they pay it at 12.5%.
That is the actual, it's neoliberal capitalism, whereby what you have is the biggest fright of Western governments is the threat of flight of capital. Foreign capital says, we'll get up and leave if you don't. So what we end up doing is we write tax laws to actually benefit them. They help, they sit inside the tent and they get to deal with it. So what you actually are talking about is eventually, and this is, let's tell the truth here, you're more revolutionary than just let's make them pay the tax. You want to see a change in how a market system operates.
Totally. I mean, I don't make any bones about that, but I think in fact that has become a much more important and relevant argument with the advancement of climate chaos and the deterioration of the planet. I mean, if we don't try to deal with that in a logical and sensible and global way, then in 50 years' time, this will not be worth living on this planet. And I don't mean to be doom and gloom and naysayer, but it'll be so, so difficult for entire populations. And the only way you can really do that is by intervening. and not allowing the market make the decisions. If you allow the market make the decisions, the market is what brought us here. If we allow them to make the decisions, nothing will be done. I mean, could you see the oil industry, the gas industry, the plastics industry intervening in themselves and saying, right, we'll shut this down now and we'll stop making our vast profits. We'll stop making all these weapons. We'll stop, you know, trading in a global way or you know, advocating the advancement of global agriculture in a way that is just doesn't make sense at all. They're not going to do that because of their vested interests. So it would require the population democratically intervening through the governments that we have, and that requires a left government.
Breed, can I ask you, that's a great macro picture, but re-election is about your constituency, your constituents. What have you got to say to your constituents for your election bid? What do you want them to know?
Well, I think most of my constituents would know me, know of me, know the work I've done around, for example, repeal the Eighth Amendment. They'd know the work that I've done to support them and their brothers and sisters when they've been on strike, whether they're nurses or bus drivers. They'd know that I am a good advocate, probably one of the best advocates they have when it comes to their own issues around health or housing or whatever it is. But they also know that I will not let them down, that I'm not a career politician. I don't go into Dáil Éireann to earn big money, to see myself, you know, vested with a nice pension. I only take the average industrial wage. I work very hard. And I also believe in people power. So if, for example, you have two wards due to be closed in March in Cherry Orchard Hospital, currently I'm talking to both the workers and the users in those wards to see, can we get a people power opposition to those closures happening. The election has intervened, but as soon as this election is over, win, lose or draw, I'll be meeting with those people and we're going to try and save those wards. But that's my modus operandi. I always bring people with me and I think people know that. So what am I saying to them? I'm saying, look at the policies that we have. I don't want to repeat the stuff that was said last night or is consistently said about what promises you make, but I will promise them that we'll be mobilising people power to defeat the rise in the pension age, for example, to achieve proper public, and when I say public, I mean affordable public housing to people, even people who are in a good wage. Young workers who are on 30,000-35,000 cannot access the housing list, so they're not entitled to any housing supports. We want to see those young workers having an entitlement to housing supports, being able to access public housing that's of high quality and is on public land and belongs to the local authorities forever, but that they can rent at a reasonable rate. We want to see hospital wards that aren't chaotic, a health service that can deliver. We want to see childcare that's affordable. We want to see affordable houses built for young workers who want to buy them. And those are things that we believe we can achieve if we had a left government. It won't happen under Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, because they're wedded to doing the bidding of the privateers, the, you know, whether it's the developers or the bankers or the builders, or in the case of health, the private health system. And I think we've got to, you know, really fight. I think we're on a path of change, and maybe not this Dáil, but certainly there could be an election pretty soon. And that's my worry. I'll be out putting up posters again this year sometime. And I think it'll be a progress, yeah. and a progress that when we look back and it'll say, Jesus, that changed awful quickly.
Yeah.
But when you're going through it, it doesn't seem like it's awful fast change. But that's my hope and that's what we're fighting for.
Very good.
Thanks very much for coming in and have a chat. What
are we finished?
Yeah.
Oh, geez, that's quick.
Breed Smith, thank you so much for your time. Best of luck in the upcoming election. Let's make sure, and that's the call from us to all of you guys, is that please, when this is over, sit down and talk to one another, because I know you're saying it could be, realistically, Martin's calling a hung Dáil as well and thinking that there's going to be another election.
That's what I think.
But if that happens, nonetheless, if we can't sit down and talk to one another, we won't get there. They managed it in Portugal. After 40 years, they broke the cycle of just right-wing government replacing right-wing government. We have an opportunity to do the same. We haven't done it here before. All the best.
I echo that now. Thanks very much for having me.
Thanks, Brad.